Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is December the 26th, 2020. I hope all of you had a Merry Christmas, and I hope you understand we are in a pagan holiday, and there's scripture to back things pertaining to bringing fir trees in your home, which is part of pagan religion. I thought I'd throw some stuff out here that I would like to have Paul interject on, and I have Professor Paul and Jeff both on with me, but I worship Jesus Christ, not a bunch of paganism or Satanism. It goes on from the 20th of December until the 6th of January. Now, Paul, join me on this one for a moment. We talked about it earlier.
We've been infiltrated for thousands of years, and before the show, I was trying to do some primary research from academic sources on how do you get from Babylon to Rome, and then from Rome, how do you get to the popes, and how did the Roman Catholic Church hook us into Christmas and Easter and so forth. And it's quite a web, and I can't really dissect it now other than to say that all of us who are in the world, that are living for the things of the world, are likely going to be disappointed, because where we're at right now is, at least in America, things are coming to a head. And I just say to anyone who is celebrating Christmas with fir trees in their homes and ornaments, that is, it's not a biblical practice. Jesus wasn't born on the winter solstice. The best that I can come up with on my primary research is that Jesus was likely conceived in the fall, sometime during the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, what's really important, I think, for everyone to know is every day is Jesus's day. So when you wake up and you give glory to the Most High, you're giving glory to Jesus. And that's really how to approach any holiday. Now, from a practical standpoint, if you're a prayer warrior doing spiritual warfare and you got Christmas trees in your house, a bunch of rock music in your possession, and you're living a secular lifestyle, it's not going to go well for you. A couple things might happen. One, you may, anything you pray for or try and project or any relationship you try and be in with God is going to be a little bit thorny or difficult. And then the other thing is if you've got doorways open, and doorways include air, missing the mark, and if you have these open doorways, if you're thinking you're a prayer warrior, you may get hit back fairly hard. And God may allow that to happen because, well, you got doorways open. The other thing is, you know, your prayers may go nowhere. The biblical Jesus is far different from what you're getting in your 501c3 churches or from the messages you're getting on 666 or any of the channels or from the Roman Catholic Church or almost any denomination. Every denomination of Christianity outside of the house church has likely been infiltrated, and that started way back in the 1611s and before that, and I can't really keep a narrative tight. It would be beyond our discussion, but Stu, I just want to validate Christmas is a pagan holiday, and if you're embracing it, you might want to go easy on the spiritual warfare because you're likely not going to be hurt or get hit back. That's not to say that you can't turn on a dime and get rid of the Christmas tree and get rid of the rock music and move forward. God is a God of mercy and very forgiving. Anyway,
He is. And the problem is everybody has had, my belief was Christ was either conceived or born, and I believe born They're in the Feast of Tabernacles. That's September and October. What do they do? 9-1-1, 9-1-1, 9-1-1. That'd be in that time frame. Also, you have what? Christmas. Everybody's bringing fir trees in. It's an abomination to God. And it's, I believe in Jeremiah, where I believe I last read it a few years back. But that's pagan religion. Bring the trees in, decorate them with the balls. And you remember Hildebeest, when she was in the White House, Gary, whatever his name was, that wrote a book, the ex-FBI agent, said they were decorating the Christmas tree with dildos, condoms, and crack pipes. Just thought I'd throw it out there since she's a big Satanist. And then we got Easter, Astar, the bunny rabbit, eggs. That's a resurrection that everybody celebrates Easter. And even the churches have gone to that. It's pagan religion. What it does is those prayers of yours that you sent up and were so powerful with by participating in a form of pagan religions, including having things in your home that look like little Satanists, will harm you. Let me give you an example. When I was in Vegas, there was this girl, her and her husband. He got on a crack pipe, and he wasn't around anymore. She come walking by my unit. I was outside on the telephone where I was living. She come walking by with her kids, and I said, "How are you doing?" And the sidewalk separating. She said, "Oh, not good." I said, "What's the matter?" She's all, and she walks up and starts talking to me. I said, "Oh, my God. She's on a crack pipe. She's needing prayer. She's a Christian, believes in it a whole bit. But she's got a husband on the crack pipe." So I talked to her a little while longer, and I said, "Listen, I want to put you on a phone with a friend of mine." It was a female in Las Vegas, prayer warrior. And so she got on with her, with Lisa. Doctor, Lisa says, "I'll be over in about 20 minutes, too." I said, "Okay." So she goes back to her pad. She says, "Yeah, Lisa said you two are coming over in 20 minutes and pray with me." "Okay, great." So we go over. Lisa comes over, and I tell her the situation, everything. So we go over to her place to pray with her. And something told me to tell the kids to go get something that looks like the boogeyman. There's something in this place that's boogeyman. So here she's got a little one, two of them, and one of them, I don't know, probably 3 years of age. She goes into her bedroom and pulls out these stuffed animals that look like a boogeyman. She put them in the sack. Put them in the sack. You got to cleanse this place out. Her mother got a trash sack, put them in the sack, and the son went, and he got stuff out of his room. One of them was some kind of a, you know, a thing everybody buys their kids, Darth Vader type thing. He brings in, she goes, "Oh, that's expensive." He puts it in there. I said, "Anything that's a boogeyman, put it in the sack." And I said, you go get your boogeyman. She said, "Well, there's one thing." And she goes in her bedroom, and she pulls this doll. It's a ceramic doll she had since she was a kid. And she brought it out, and she put it in Lisa's face and my face. The eyes on this thing were so evil. I said, "Does that bug you?" She says, "Somewhat." I said, "Put it in the sack." She goes, "Oh, man, this is worth a lot of money." I said, "Put it in the sack. You want to clean the evil out?" "Yeah." So she puts it in the sack. I took it out, put it in the trash. I came back in and got on my hands and knees with her and prayed. The next day, her husband shows up, and he's going to quit the crack pipe. And they actually got together and were serving Christ. And this went on for about 6 months. And then all of a sudden one day, I hear that she got kicked out of a church. The preacher had the hots for her. And when he found out they got back together and started attending the church, he wanted to kick them out of the church. So they asked me to go with them. I wasn't in the meeting. They came out and said, "We're getting kicked out of the church." And I said, "Well, okay. No big deal. I said, go to the car." They went to the car. I was driving. I went in the corner of the church where they couldn't see me. I got on my hands and knees and prayed for God to empty that church out and get rid of that satanic crap that was inside. The whole congregation whole congregation, she told me, after one called her and said, well, how come you not? She called her or something, told her what had happened. And after that, 90% of the congregation left that RLDS church in Las Vegas within the month. I'm nobody special. It's just God works wonders if you have faith and belief. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, the Reform Latter-day Saints have two Bibles, really. They have the Book of Mormon, and then they have the Bible that we're familiar with. And one of the things about Bibles is there are translations, and then beyond the Bible, there are sects. And this is kind of interesting that we're going this direction today, because Joffrey had sent me earlier about the great falling away, about apostasy. And it's tempting for us to think of apostasy, the falling away, as false beliefs. And that's absolutely true. But when you get into false beliefs, there are general false beliefs and then there are specific false beliefs. And I'm not picking on the King James Version deliberately, but just trying to make a point. The King James Bible was translated by almost 60 people, and about 20 dropped off. And over a period of about 10 years, the whole goal was to replace the Geneva Bible with a English Bible. And it was to be done for King James. And King James was surrounded by four people of note. And Francis Bacon is a name that most people are aware of. John is another name would be aware of. They also had a guy with them named Edgar Kelly, who was a Nostradamus type character who skyred. And then there was a Jesuit named Toby Matthew. So you have a gang of four and you have King James. And I have no reason to believe that most of the translators were not spirit-filled believers. They could have been. Some of them no doubt weren't, and some of them were just fluent in a bunch of different languages. And so what they did is they tweaked essentially the Tyndale Bible and the Geneva Bible. So 4% of the King James comes directly from the Tyndale or from the Geneva, and then you have those 10% changes. And what exactly were those 10% changes? Well, they were not supposed to change any chapters and verses. And, of course, they tried to make sure that that didn't happen. But Dee and Bacon and Toby Matthew, they had hold of the KJV transcript from 1609 until 1611. And there were changes made. And there's a book called Bible for Dummies. And people want to know more about some of their handiwork. They can do their own research. I don't need to go into great detail. But Stu, you mentioned that in the King James Bible, that Passover becomes Easter. And it's not just the King James. It is almost every translation we have. And what you get with almost every Bible is a great need for discernment. And I'm not saying that there's not a lot of accuracy to the King James Bible, but I would caution anyone to, when it comes to the Bible, that you better start with prayer, and then you better learn some Latin, some Greek, some Hebrew, and be very careful about the trust that you place in men or man or brothers or mentors or guides. And when it comes to the Bible, one better read it about 10 times. And if there's stuff you don't understand, you're just going to have to say, hey, I don't understand this right now, but I'm going to keep reading and I'm going to keep praying. It's only after reading the Bible about 10 times, and I know that's quite a commitment, but start with Gospel of John and read that about 3 or 4 times. And that gives you kind of a basis. But we're all kind of hooked into this world system. And most of us, even those that don't believe we do, we have 1 foot in the world. And most of us have 2 feet in the world. and it all starts with debt slavery. And once you become part of the system, it's pretty hard to get out of the system and place all your faith in God. And but that's what's required of us now. Anyway, I may have gone a little bit too far out there, but Joffrey, can you weigh in? You were the guy that said, hey, here's some scripture for you. And I worked my way through it and gave you an incomplete response, but what is the falling away?
Yeah, I'm backing up real quick. Both you guys, I guess I'm going to toot some horns in a minute. I like the historical perspective, Paul, you're mentioning, and, you know, where we've been, where we're, you know, 10% deviation from, let's say, the accuracy of the truth is like a little bit of arsenic in your water. You know, it's really not tolerable to have that. And Stu, I when you were telling your story about what has happened in Vegas there, you know, I was thinking about Satan's breadcrumbs, and he leaves breadcrumbs for us to consume. And I think I'm going to back up a little bit further before I answer your question, Paul, about I wanted to comment on what you two were talking about. That was very interesting. About Christmas, and I like the fact that the time of year people tend to reflect a little bit, which I think is very good. I think they tend to be a little more kind to each other. I think that's very good. I think these are topical anecdotes. They're physical anecdotes to a spiritual issue. And, you know, giving of gifts and how Christmas started, possibly how celebrating the birth of Christ, a great thing, but it was a hijacked holiday. In my opinion, and as you guys have just mentioned, you know, that's kind of where it's gone. It's now, it's not really so much about a savior that has come to the world as it is. Hey, what are you doing, or what gift did you get, or what practices, what traditions does your family do? So it's kind of over time, I'm sure, it started out one way, and now we've got it commercialized. Hey, it's all about, I'm gonna go put something on the credit card to buy somebody else another gift and some more crap in my house I don't need. And so, you know, going back to that comment, I think if we would just get back to the compassion, the caring, the love of the, you know, Christ says, hey, who's my brother and sister? Well, look around, you know, that's who we are. Take care of each other. You know, we all have the things we need. I can't say I've suffered for anything much, really. I mean, grew up pretty poor at times. But, you know, I haven't suffered, and there's a lot of people that do. And I think if we'd focus on helping others, and, you know, when you do this to the least of these, you've done it to me thing. I think that's probably where we ought to be with the Christmas focus. But anyway, I'm in agreement with what you guys said. That is a great historical, and Stu put an application to it. I think that's fantastic listening. And I think we could dig deep into that whole thing. What you'd mentioned, Paul, yeah, that great falling away, you know, Christ works about that deception, and then the falling away happens, but before he returns, and it talks about Thessalonians, before he returns, you're going to see that great falling away. And my thought when I sent a message to you was, for the folks that are expecting this rapture event, which will happen at some point, I do believe, it will, because it talks about being caught up in the air with Christ, and the dead shall rise first, and we shall meet him in the air. Those who are alive and remain shall meet him in the air. So there is a taking up of the church at some point in time. But I think the great falling away might, I think those counting on the rapture as the bailout or the too soon, it could be a very discouraging thing on their faith if they don't see it happen. And so they're going to say, hey, where is God? You know, he said he's going to come back. And I believe it was Isaiah that talked about it. I'm not 100% sure on that. But, you know, well, yeah, he doesn't do good. He doesn't do bad. I mean, where is he? Time magazine says God is dead, you know, years back. I think, you know, enough time goes by. And people see enough of God not intervening that they think, well, you know what? He doesn't care, or he doesn't exist. Why should I believe in him? And I think we're kind of that deadness of spirit. You know, when you can't look beyond yourself and you're looking at yourself, and that in the last days, men will become lovers of self. So when the focal point is everything me and nothing you or anybody else, we have begun to make that transition into those last days. And then that great falling away where, hey, it doesn't matter as long as it's for me. So, yeah, I think there's a lot going on. And I think we're at the front end of this falling away. I don't know how we couldn't be. And you cut churches off from being able to meet. You probably further distance with all this, the COVID stuff. You know, now you even cut that link to worship with fellow believers. And you're distancing. And now don't look at each other. Now they're even talking about laws. No, it might be illegal to even make eye contact. Oh, come on. You know, we're just trying to cut this thing down to where you don't care. It's just you. So anyway, yeah, there is so much that we could talk about just in that falling away area that's very pertinent to today because of where we're at.
We are living in times of massive deception. If one has either both feet in the world or one foot in the world and another foot in their belief. And I don't want to minimize or cast aspersions on those of us that are confused and disturbed, because the system that we're in starts with debt slavery. Uh-huh. The second you're born, when we were born, of course, we were given a birth certificate.
Yep.
And we are treated as a corpse because the words are all in. And that system then puts you with a Social Security number, and in the educational system, you're brainwashed. You're just fed propaganda, and you're supposed to believe that you're government or your institutions care about you. But what you're not told in school and what you're not told by your parents, and you know, hey, I think my parents did the best job they could. I love them and hope to see them again. I had a grandmother, and she really kept the message simple, and she got me through the Bible about, I don't know, 10 times at least. And at one point, I knew 429 different vignettes, so I could, you know, you could ask me a question about the Bible, and I'd say, well, that's Ruth, and, you know, Ruth was the one that saved the line to Jesus, and, yeah, I mean, it was pretty comprehensive what I could do by about 12, 13, 14 years old, but she really kept the mesh, and you know, I look at Bibles that she gave my sister and gave our family, and there's always an inscription and then her name. And but most of them were, remember, Jesus is God, or Jesus is our Savior. She always just kept the message very, very simple. And I'm grateful for that, because right now we're in a huge mess. And I'd like to finish this next 20 minutes with, where are we at today, and what happens between today and January 20th. And what does that mean for you, Joffrey? What does that mean for Stu? What does that mean for me? And what does it mean for the listener? So here we are. It's December 26th, and we recognize now that the likelihood of Donald Trump remaining in office, well, he's going to be there until the 20th, but my take is a lot's going to happen between now and then, because we're going to have two presidents, I think. I mean, I'm working from the assumption right now that we'll see a secession, and with the coronation or placement of Joey from Scranton on the 20th, I just think a lot of people are going to understand the scientific dictatorship, the neo-feudalism, the whole gig is designed, to eliminate all of us. And so I think people are basically saying, hey, we've played along long enough. We've behaved in good faith. But now this is our last stand. And, it's one thing to fight Donald Trump. Fight Donald Trump is hard enough. But, boy, if you have to fight Joey from Scranton and his O'Biden cabinet and the SES and the whole governmental structure and all the corporations. China is the U.S. and the U.S. is China. And what most people don't understand is all of this has been integrated over thousands of years, and more recently since the 1600s, with the Jesuits infiltrating China and infiltrating every institution in Europe and every institution in America. And it's an unpleasant truth, but it is reality. So, Stu, you want to start us off? Where are we at with December 26th and what happens in the next 5 days, 10 days, and through January 20th?
Well, from what I'm picking up from intelligence sources on this, is that January the 6th will be the day, of course, they have to certify the election in state. The governor has to put his signature. The secretaries of state that were committing this voter fraud are going to have to put their signature. And the delegates, and then the person in charge of the voting for that state. Now, they already have the proof and evidence Donald Trump won. U.S. government already has the evidence Donald Trump won. They have the evidence through not only the Dominion software, the false voting records, and everything. All they need is the physical person to put their stamp of approval on it, and then they get indicted. Because they're going to say, Joey won. He didn't win. Joe Biden did not win. He might have got a fourth of the vote from a bunch of idiots out here that want to be taken care of for the rest of their life. They have equal pay like Bernie Sanders wants. They want socialism, communism. They call it a democracy today. All I hear on TV out of these little C words, I call them. Some call them a bitch. I call them a C word at times, and that's the nastiest word a man can use against a woman. But Nora O'Donnell and some of these trash that are on national TV, oh, democracy, a democracy, a democracy, a democracy. We don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic if we can keep it, said, I believe, Jefferson or whichever one it was.
Franklin.
If we can keep it, then we have a republic and we have a constitution if we can keep it. Now, how do we keep it? Well, we have to get physical. There was a revolution in the past. We're going to have a revolution if they think they're going to shove Donald Trump out the door on the 20th. What I understand is that there will be prosecution after the 6th, it will begin, and it will lead through the 20th. Now, something's interesting is brought to my attention by a former prosecutor recently, is that it used to be Inauguration Day was the 20th of March, not 20th of January. Now, somebody signed an executive order way back in the 1800s or before then, decided that they were going to change the date. Well, that isn't what the Constitution originally showed, and all the other people work, should we say. Instead, they changed it. Now, could Donald Trump put an executive order in to put it back up to the 20th of March? A possibility. But he also can sign the Insurrection Act. Now, I understand that Sidney Powell tried to move in the White House during the past couple of days, and Pompeo, he's a little turd. He's from Wichita, Kansas, a former congressman down there. He was a piece of garbage. Too many people live in Kansas told me about his crimes in the past. Why Donald Trump picked him? Well, he's coming back to Kellyanne Conway and his advisor, Jared Kushner. And that's the problems that we have had in the White House. Now, we've had treason and sedition at the highest level committed in the first election. Donald Trump wasn't supposed to be elected, folks. But the American people put him in there because they wanted real change. They wanted some different. And Trump was different. He's not a Satanist. That's the difference. Joy Boy, now he's a little child molester. His son's a child molester. He killed his first wife. He married the one that killed his first wife, which is his second wife, the current one. She hit her in a car crash, killed her and his son. He turns around and marries the satanic piece of garbage. Come on. What's the matter with this guy?
Everything.
And take the guns away from everybody when he enters office. He wants to vaccinate everybody. 300 million people in America are going to get vaccinated. That's a Satan to its max. Now, Donald Trump's not perfect, folks, but I'm going to tell you something. If they think they're going to throw him out of office, the word is on the streets. There's going to be one huge bloodbath in Washington, D.C. Everybody's going to get it, except for Donald Trump. That's what I've heard. And I'm telling you, it's very, very serious. We're talking the ex-military. We're talking patriots. We're talking Trump supporters. And I already know this. We had a bomb go off yesterday down there, and this was all part of the Democratic New World Order agenda. Scare everybody. Do it on Christmas. Terrorist attacks. I have a flag. I thought about putting it up last week. It says the season for false flags. I think we're going to see a lot of shit hit the fan. And I can tell you this. If Antifa, the Black Lives Matter, come out in Kansas City, Missouri, and they start burning down the Country Club Plaza, I'm going to be down there with a 50 caliber with other people and their 50 calibers, and the problem is going to be a solution. I've said enough. That's the feeling of most people. Most people. We have about 10 million patriotic Trump supporters that are ex-military. And I can tell you this, between them and the posse comitatuses that went into existence, older guys passed it on their sons, pretty strong network out here of armed people.
Joffrey, can you weigh in with where you see things, where you're at? And I find it interesting to learn that a lot of people are afraid to sign a petition. They're afraid of Big Brother. They're afraid that if their name goes on a list, they're going to be targeted. So people deep down, they really know something is very, very wrong. And yet the mask wearers in my neighborhood, the mask wearers where you are, the people who are getting jabbed with a vaccine, but they still have to wear a mask and they still have to social distance. I mean, we live in an asylum, but can you pick us up from where you at today? And what do you got in your toolkit based on what you know?
My thoughts would be that we are the proverbial bug in search of a windshield. and I don't know what the catalyst is going to be, but I guess I'm echoing Stu's comments that I think the lines have been drawn already. Neither side is going to accept the outcome. Neither side. There are people that are saying, I'm not going to accept the Biden presidency, and I wouldn't personally either. You know, so, and Trump, you know, a lot of people might say, hey, he, don't expect him to be the solution because he may not be able to bail it out either. He may have his hands tied or he might be compromised with a little bag of tricks that could be played on him or threatened with. So don't necessarily expect him to be the voice of a revolution of senses. He's probably not going to make that comment. I think he's kind of in a wait and see, how much backing do I really have? I think that people have reached the point where they got a little dose of nationalism. They got a little dose of, wait a minute, it doesn't have to be the way it's been all these years with all these puppet politicians. They've got the taste of, wait, there's something wrong with where we're going with all that. It just gets more draconian, tyrannical with every administration. So now I think people say it's time probably to wake up, and I think that's where we're at. I think there's a great awakening in the sense of an asylum that we live in, and a matrix, you know, if you want to call it that, where for so long now we have not been able to think our own thoughts. We have not been able to have our own course of action. And I did see that I'm going to back up a second, but I did see there's a promotion for maybe a national non-mask day on January 1st. Nobody wears masks. What are they going to do, put everybody in jail? I mean, who doesn't comply? And I think it's just one of those things. Do the people decide that they want to take their country back? And I don't know what the catalyst is going to be, but I think you can sense, I think we all can, this calm before the storm, and whatever happens between probably in the next few days, maybe seeing little pockets of things that could be indicators, but maybe not the exact match that gets thrown on the kerosene, but maybe the 6th of January, it does. And then when these people meet, I think when Trump says, hey, you know what, look at all these people that showed up, what's he going to say? What's he going to tell them? What hope is he going to give them? He told his staff, don't clean your stuff out. So we're coming to an apex. We don't think there's any way around a confrontation. How far it goes, I don't know. How much stomach do the people have for something that would be an uncivil war, as we've said? And how vulnerable does that leave us? And I think, what is it, 29 nations have to agree. And if a distress signal is called, sent out to the UN, then we get those guys invading us. So
if the UN comes into this country, I guarantee you, everyone would be shot in a frigate head.
Oh, it'd be.
There is going to be, there is, maybe I speak for myself, but I don't think so. I've heard it from too many people. Back in the mid-90s, I got pissed off and decided the government won't clean the problem up. And they just had me locked up for 10 and a half months as a political prisoner after causing the 4 congressional investigations back to back. Silverado Savings Loan, Neil Bush director, my ex-father-in-law owned it. His two stooges, Mizell and Brownstein, sat on the board with Neil laundering the Iran-Contra drug money from MENA, Arkansas, involving the Clintons, Patrick Wu, or Fung, that is the Chinese Lipple, a Worthington Bank connection that set up all these trusts that it makes it look like China owns America. But those trusts were passed to Brownstein and the other 6 CIA counsel underneath Daddy Bush when Brownstein was over there. Now, Brownstein and Mizell are two dangerous pieces of garbage on this planet to the human race. They're both APEC directors. Brownstein controls the Democratic Party. Mizell, who took over the fallen angel, jumped out of my ex-father-in-law, as Otis Johnson Super Spook said. Whatever lived in your ex-father-in-law lived for thousands of years. Now it lives in Larry Mizell. He was the anointed one. And I sat and watched $100 trillion worth of assets, Malls of America as an example, and all the corporations that Milman was in control of got shuffled over to Mizell. Brownstein controls the trusts that control the corporations. Now, the only Republican that Mizell didn't take control of was Donald Trump, and I know that. He did not have control. They still don't. They've done everything they can. Now, can you imagine a bunch of shapeshifters, fallen angels shapeshifting in front of you, partying with you? Now, ask yourself who Larry Mizell and Brownstein are. They're the ones who went and had a private dinner with Obama before he left the White House because he made sure they didn't get prosecuted on their bank fraud, over $100 trillion worth of artificial mortgages, and taking back, stealing back 12 million people's homes. He did that. So they went to the White House and had dinner with Obama just before he left. And guess what happened? There was an announcement the next day by Barack Obama that he had a private dinner where he raised from private donors $100 million to build his Chicago library. The following day, he's dead now, the Keating Five boy, John McCain, senator, announces, oh, we passed the abortion bill. And Eric Holder is no longer attorney general. He has resigned, and so-and-so took over. Was it Loretta Lynch or whatever her name was, I believe?
Loretta Lynch.
Yeah, the one that meets on the tarmac with the Clintons to cut a deal later. I mean, we got stooge after stooge after stooge. And who was the one in there screwing Trump up? Kellyanne Conway, Miss CIA attorney, her husband, CIA attorney. During the first round of impeachment against Donald Trump, He's on national TV on CNN, Kellyanne Conway's husband, saying, oh, yeah, he should be impeached. Then he started a PAC to impeach Trump. And here, who's advising? The counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, which eventually he got rid of her. He's gotten rid of the Secretary of Defense, who said what? Trump says, sign an order, military to go in and take those people out, arrest them in Portland and Seattle now. No, that's against the Constitution, Mr. President. I won't follow that order. He got fired after the election. Bill Barr was asked to leave because he didn't prosecute. Now, 10 advisors, including Kissinger, Madam Albright, New World Order, Satanic Pigs, Kissinger being a fallen angel-possessed human being, by the way, folks, were all kicked off the military advisory. Also, the direct underlayments, assistant secretaries of defense, were removed and replaced by good, solid, one ex-military, who was on the Devin Nunes committee, the Judiciary Committee, that was screaming and yelling and carrying on about the fact that Strzok, McCabe, Comey were all liars. And they had lied and lied and lied, and they brought all that up. He's now sitting ready for the military tribunal, possibly, folks. The Justice Department, the head chief's been gone. Bill Barr, who was he? He was an Iran-Contra figure. His real name is CIA agent Robert Johnson, Bill Barr. Remember locking me up in prison? You and Mueller. You were the two when Daddy Bush was president. You locked me up for 10.5 months, you punks. Here's the point. Bill Barr was the assistant attorney underneath Brownstein when Daddy Bush was CIA director, and Brownstein was his one of they called the 6 CIA counsel. Now, you have Bill Barr. He's gone. You have the Secretary of Defense is gone. You have assistant secretaries of defense gone. You're going to see more heads roll before this is over with. Now, where do I think it's going to go? I think there's going to be prosecution for the first time. I honestly believe I'm going to see it. And if not, well, everybody in this country that I'm talking to, Stu, it's going to be a bloodbath if they think they're going to knock Donald Trump out. It's time to take down the entire Congress, Senate, the Judicial Department, everybody, playing their clock. What can I say? That's the word going around. Everybody wants a final resolution to all these crimes that have been committed over the years against the American people, and the American people couldn't do anything about it because the Justice Department, the presidency, everybody, Congress and Senate were compromised. There's only 6. If I was sent in by God to exterminate them all, there would be 5 or 6 I would allow to live. Knowing in my soul, they're good, righteous people. Jim Jordan, DeSantis, Nunes, Stewart of Utah, the ones that came against them, they showed their colors during those hearings. The rest of them are all pieces of garbage. Why did they remain? You vote them out, but yet they're still in. It's because they've had this Dominion thing in effect since the 90s. Since the 90s, folks, with the electronic voting machines, the fraud with these systems, Dallas, Texas, Raytheon, a defense contractor that controls the Westar satellites that changed the electronic voting machines also. Yeah, Bush, you did a great job. Here you're a Republican to call up next day after the vote. They claim that Biden won. You remember calling up Biden and congratulating him, and here you're a Republican? Folks, we're living under a big illusion. Satan is in control. There's 200,000 fallen angel-possessed human beings on the planet, according to Super Spook Otis Johnson, which worked directly for General Flynn, who was murdered. Flynn was arrested 2 weeks later, and he told me if Mueller doesn't end up in a prison cell, he says if he does not If Hillary Clinton is not prosecuted for the fake dossier, he says Mueller will find himself in a prison cell. 2 months later, Otis is dead. Now, you can listen to a private conversation with the super spook. It's up on my radio bar. Taped him one time because I had a hit on me. He had one on him. And he was talking about flying out to Bluffdale, Utah, secret underground base where they're controlling. And they've got an alien base next to it. And it's all tied up with this electronics that they're doing to us. And listen to every conversation and knowing every location you're at, where you're at. As long as you've got a cell phone, you got a chip in you, they know where the hell you are. Now, we're all being fried. We have no justice. We have 10 million people that have been cloned out of Hope, Arkansas, which is a frigate army form. And that is back. And 200,000 people possessed by fallen angels that are registered with the United States government under the 1952 to 2012 alien agreement, they called it, the aliens being fallen angels. People don't have any idea how bad this is. Now, are they going to unleash their 10 million man cloned army? Boy, I'll tell you what, if they do that, it's going to be a lot of blood in the streets of America. Because I'm going to buy this. I'm not going to stop. Now, with that said, I've said my piece more or less. I want you, Paul, to pick it up and Jeff to pick this up.
Well, this is our five-minute warning. We really only have about 5-7 minutes here. What I want to present is for every action, there is a reaction. And when we start talking about global deep state, this is an operation that's been in effect since Nimrod, basically. And they have planned.
Paul, if you were to put it in our timeline today, it started with the OSS during World War II and the super program, the Brown Shoe Boys, the 79 of them, Daddy Bush being one of them, Noman being one of them. But a friend of mine, General Russell Bowen, it's written about in Defrauding America, where I'm written about by Rodney Stitch. Bowen gave him a lot of stuff. Bowen was also held in Springfield for flying a 727 full of cocaine in Atlanta, which he was part of an operation for the CIA. But he called the feds, FBI, and he called the news media, which the FBI locked up the news media for being there. He was trying to bust them out along with Al Martin after Al Martin had busted them on the Iran-Contra. And it never goes anyplace is the whole point. There's never prosecution of these people. They're above the law. There's two sets of books, one for the American people and one for them. How do we change that would be a question I would have.
Yeah, I think that's a fair question, and I appreciate you. Let's start off with we are the Fourth Reich. And I don't have any problem with that narrative. And the Fourth Reich means that we were infiltrated. All of the dark science that was being done in Germany and elsewhere, out of Rome, transferred to America. And so without us really knowing about it, we've been placed under what's called a scientific dictatorship or a scientific technocracy. Their goal is really H+. H+ means transhumanism. It is the new singularity. Everything becomes synthetic. Everything becomes technological, no longer human. The promise that they're leaning into is they're going to be immortal if they execute a plan according to the archons and to who we know as either Lucifer or Satan. And there may be several Satans. There may be as many five different Satans, actually. But here's where I want to finish my perspective with. It's called Gray Terror and the Overture. The defector testimony, the literature, it suggests that once America is infiltrated by the Fourth Reich, it would be presented as communism. Now, communism is an academic term. It's really neo-feudalism. Communism is just a bunch of fake promises about from each according to his ability to each according to his need. And somehow, you know, workers of the world unite and we're all going to live in peace and harmony. That's not their plan at all. their plan is the elimination of humanity. War has been declared on humanity itself. So if anyone doesn't think that's what's really going on, they need to get over it, get a grip. So the gray terror is all of our institutions are infiltrated. And everything we're told, it's the reverse. They tell us one thing, you got to do a 180. It's the opposite. It's called doublespeak. Or for guys like me, it's called Jesuit theater. It's called learning against learning. So they infiltrate every institution. And that's your city council. That's your school board. That's your governor. That's your attorney general at the state level. That's your regional council. That's your governance at the federal level. All of those levels have been infiltrated. And people have been bribed or blackmailed or whatever method that works best. They're under the spell. They're under the control. They're working for the New World Order. And that's why what we're up against is even bigger than most of us conceive. I know we got to start somewhere. We are now at what's called the overture. The gray terror morphs into the overture. And what do they do at the overture? Well, they reveal themselves. Now, some are familiar with a woman named Alice Bailey, who wrote a 21-volume set called The Externalization of the Hierarchy. And basically what she did is she gave the UN plan, the United Nations plan, and they would reveal themselves. And then they would tell us who they are and what they're doing and so forth. And to a large degree, much of that plan has been followed. And the overture is they now have revealed the criminalization and the corruption. And you say, well, why would they reveal that they're all criminals and they're corrupt? Well, because what they want is civil war. They want us to kill each other. That's always been part of their plan. Now, I know that's a big idea. But
well, you hit that one on the head. Keep going, Paul. You're thinking like I am.
Yeah, and so I just want to throw out a couple of places, several places, and then everyone's got to take this in prayer, and they got to realize that the enemy is very, very sophisticated. And so when you think about Budapest in 1956, what happened? When you think about Prague in 1968, what happened? When you think about what happened after Tiananmen Square in 1983, it didn't go well for the protesters or for the people who thought they were on the side of fairness and justice. And then when you look at what's been happening in Hong Kong, those protesters were set up. And essentially what we've got to be very careful about is that we understand the enemy has contingency plans. And so we can talk about how bold we are. We can talk about how ferocious we are. We can talk about how well planned we are. But I have to tell you what, if we aren't part of God's army and if we don't have God on our side, we are going to get eviscerated. We are going to get mowed down. Now, I regret you guys. Joffrey, you actually get the last comment because we'll do another show either today or tomorrow. But I'm asking you to put a ribbon and a bow on it. Can you do that with what you've heard?
Yeah. Okay. So the saint, there's the those who have gone on to been martyred, let's say, and talk in Revelation, adorned in white robes, and they ask, you know, how long before our blood is vindicated, and they ask that question, and the answer is, well, just a little while longer. And, you know, God is harvesting more people to himself. I think what you guys have said is just, that really is right on. I mean, we are coming to a point where, you know, what's going to happen next, and we all want to know what's going to happen next. So when we get to that point, what are the contingencies, as you mentioned, that others or the prince of the power of this air, what's their plan? They've been at this a long time, like you say. This is not just a few weeks of, well, let's put together a plan if this doesn't go this way. This is stuff that's been sketched out, practiced, war gamed in the deep circles, spells and all that other kind of crap. I mean, it's purely a demonic plan, and I think the world is waiting for an event, and then we're going to get the great peacemaker, the guy who shows up on the scene with all the answers, and everybody says, wow, who is like this guy? Never heard anybody else. What a unifier. So, you know, the discord is a sign of he's not here yet. And that, in a sense, is a good thing. There's still time for repentance. There's time to draw a little circle around yourself and say it starts right here with me. But there is time, but slowly, I should say fast, it's fast approaching the point where lines have been drawn and we're facing a situation that's going to require decisions to be made. And some of them are probably going to be pretty messy. And some of us probably don't have the stomach for it. But you know what? The road is wide that leads to destruction, and the road is very narrow that those the path of those that find it. So, you know, we're told in Scripture, the crowd generally isn't going to be right. And so I think it's going to fall upon probably God's people to say, okay, separate yourself in this sense. Separate yourself unto good works and to repentance and to prayer, because we are the last bastion of any kind of defense for this country. And the prayers of the saints availeth much if we get after it. And that, like you say, Paul and Stu, is our last resort. Relying upon any external to come in and save the day is probably not going to happen. So anyway, I guess that's where I'm at with it is we are fast approaching a climax of an event, and that event will require intervention and the solution we may not be real happy with. So there's hope. Mm-hmm. There's hope. That's my point. There is hope, and that's what we have to rely on is the great hope, the blessed hope that we put our faith in, and it isn't man.
No, it's not man.
Hey, Stu, why don't we try and connect with a couple of other people who you are closely connected with and do some prayer later? Because I want this show to go up, and we go over an hour, then you got to work an additional hour.
Yeah, we could do something later this evening if you want to.
Okay. All right. Let's close it down.
Yeah. Well, you want to close it with prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We place our faith in you and our trust in you. And in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus, we ask that our audience be protected, that a hedge of protection over all of us, that we are going to know your will and your ways, and that we will serve you as you so choose. We have now turned our lives over to you, and what we understand is in this world, things are rapidly fading, but if we place our trust in you, there is eternity, and that is our reality, our truth. And in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, we ask for your blessing and your protection and your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. With that said, thank you, Professor Paul. Thank you, Jeff. And I'll be talking to you here in a little while.
Cool. Thanks.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.